Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Well, just a great way to walk into what we want to be doing today. And so I am Greg Meyer, pastor at Jacob's Well, and it's great to spend this time with you. On the back of your Sunday papers, you're going to find an outline. You're welcome to follow along in that if you want. It can be helpful and give you a place to write some of your own thoughts and so on, but you don't need to do that either. So we have been talking Divided We Fall for the last weeks, ever since the end of October. And I don't think it's a surprise to anyone talking about how polarized we are as a nation, as a world right now, how much opposed we are, this relationship of contentiousness that is around us all. And we know that it isn't working. We know that it's getting worse, not better. And it's not only affecting our life as a society or as a nation, it's affecting our personal lives. There's a recent poll that said 40% of people said that this tension between the different sides since the whole election process began is affecting people's relationship. 40% of people said it's been affecting my relationship with my family, with my closest friends. You know, one of the things we do know that when we play this win-lose, even when we win, we lose. I mean, it's just what happens with it. We end up less strong, we end up more alone. Divided, we fall. It's just the way it is. And we know that arguing isn't going to get us together. Arguing is going to continue to drive us farther apart. Of course, there is a place for debate. We live in a very complicated world with no easy answers, and we need more opinions and ideas and experiments and thoughts and experiences and perspectives in order to figure things out. But what we know, and we've seen it, you know, just testified to daily, is that the fundamental thing that allows all those differences to build us rather than tear us down is missing. And that essential ingredient is called trust. When we don't trust each other, we just divide. But when we trust each other, then we can maybe accept that. We can see the humanity. We can see the person behind the opinion, the person behind the point of view, and we can begin to learn from each other. And I think that trust starts happening when we see each other as human beings, when we know each other's story. We're called to hear one another's stories before we start judging, categorizing, dismissing one another. And that's kind of what we're all about today. And hearing each other's stories depends on this basic thing called listening. And this is a problem. And this is on your Sunday paper. And that is, we aren't listening. We aren't listening today, folks. And because we're not listening, we're not learning. And when we're not learning, there's a lot of problems that come along with that. Remember back in September when we were talking about compassion, we called it humanize. And I know you remember everything we said during September, right? Yeah, knowing nods. Thank you. Thank you. You can go back and listen to the podcast, right? So there was a story that we spent some time with about Jesus feeding thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And afterwards, his learners, that's what a disciple is, if you translate the word disciple, his learners had no idea what Jesus was doing. In fact, they were kind of all mixed up about the whole thing. And they didn't get it. And so Jesus says this. He says, "Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect afterwards?" And they said, 12. And Jesus said, "That's a lot more than we started with, right? Do you still not get it?" And they said, "Yeah, we still don't get it." And I'm not going to explain it right now. We're going to dive into some of that a little bit later, but the point is, we've got ears, but we aren't listening. We're missing the story. We're not hearing. We don't know what's going on, and therefore we don't understand, and that's a problem. It's a big problem. So we've been exploring this power of story to unite us through the, and we've been doing it this whole series, and today we're going to be doing some very important practice of that, practice of sharing our stories and of listening to people's stories, because we want to practice when it's easy, Well, if you're the person in front of a bunch of people, it's not all that easy, but it's easier than it is out in the real world where we're really faced with some of these huge divisions and problems among each other. So we practice when it's easy, so we have the skills we need when it's not. After Carla and Kayla shared their stories 2 weeks ago here, we asked if there's some other people that wanted to share the story today, and a couple of dozen you said I would, and actually I think we got about a dozen people that are ready to go. So in a little bit, we are going to break into three groups, and don't need to worry about that. Well, tell you how that works, and we're going to hear the stories, and then we're going to come back here, okay? We'll come back here to complete the gathering. But before we do that, I just want to share a few thoughts about this listening thing. Because it's huge, and like I said, we're not real good at it. And when we're not good at listening, you know, all we do is continue to get evidence to drive ourselves apart rather than pull together. So, a couple of obstacles to listening that I want to run through. And I just have to say, I'm putting these like in a lot of like finger pointing you language, and I'm not actually finger pointing at you. It's just that these are all true about all of us, and I think we need to own it. So I'm using strong language. So if I'm offending you, you're welcome. At least I'm an equal opportunity offender, okay? The first one is this. Oh, and by the way, as we go through them on your Sunday paper, you might want to check the ones that are true for you, all right, and see how many of them you get, all right? Number one, you live in a ghetto. By that, I don't mean the poor neighborhood in town, all right? I'm not talking about geography. I'm not talking about, you know, poor economic neighborhood. I'm talking you live in an enclave. You live in a world that is a sample size that is approximately like you, and only slightly different versions of it, okay? This echo chamber of people who have experiences like yours, if there is poverty involved in your ghetto, it's not necessarily poverty of economics, it's probably the poverty of diverse experience and therefore diverse perspective. People who live in this cultural or personal poverty, personal ghetto, they don't listen to other people. They're often afraid to. And when they're forced to do it, they're not good at it because they've never developed the skills and they don't have the perspective, the experience to be able to do that. We live in ghettos. Your second obstacle to listening is that you are more interested in being understood than in understanding. Just leave that out there. So if you are more interested in being understood than in trying to understand, guess which one you spend the most time and energy on? Play out a scenario where two people who are more interested in being understood than understanding the other person, having a conversation, can end up anywhere other than frustrating. But we do it all the time. No wonder we're so frustrated with so many of those experiences. The next one follows right along from that last. See if this one is true for you. You listen to the other person until you formulated your reply, and then you wait for an opportunity to cut in and share your point. Just to be clear, that is not called listening, that is called ambushing, all right? And I recognize this one very well from firsthand experience, all right? I think that's really true. Okay, so we listen to formulate a reply, and then we tune out and wait for a chance to make our point. Next one is you fall victim to confirmation bias. You fall victim to confirmation bias. That's a technical term. What it's talking about, it's acknowledging the fact that none of us listen to other people completely objectively and openly. We aren't able to do it, probably. What we tend to do is we cherry pick. We have filters, so all the stuff that we hear out there, we attenuate it for the stuff that has evidence for what we believe already, what agrees with us, what we already believe. And so whatever, we listen to all the stuff out there, and all we do is let it confirm what we already believe. Not only do we do that when there is ambiguous evidence out there, we tend to filter through that to find that we find that to use that ambiguous evidence as a way to support ourselves. So when you get two people who disagree very strongly on some kind of issue or whatever, and then they hear a statistic that says 5 out of 10 people think this, both of them goes, see, I told you. Confirmation bias. Here's another obstacle to deep listening. It takes time to establish the kind of trust between people that will prevent a conversation between people who, you know, have different ideas, experiences, opinions, to have that conversation not devolve into an argument. It takes trust between them to have it not devolve into that direction. And here's the obstacle. you are impatient. You aren't willing to take that time. Hey, listen, like I'll give it some time, but I explained for 5 minutes why the toilet paper should roll over the front, not the back, and they still don't agree with me. And then I discovered that they wet the toothbrush after they put the toothpaste on and not before. I spent 10 minutes on that, and they don't get it. Come on, let's be reasonable here. All right, I mean, that's a ridiculous example. I mean, I know a lot of you are dealing with much deeper and harder, tougher issues that go, you know, a lot deeper into yourself and have more implications for the world, and you have spent years trying to establish some sort of understanding with another person, and you're feeling like, I haven't budged it yet. Yeah. You need to be patient. We need to take time for these things. We have to be willing to play the long game. I know that I'm impatient because I want a result. All right? I want that person to finally agree with me or at least reciprocate the openness back to me. What my better self knows is that I need to patiently hang in there because it's the right thing to do. Not because they're going to agree, not because they're going to do it back, because it's the right thing to do. And you can't put a clock on the right thing to do. We need to be patient, and we're not. We're not good at that. The last obstacle that I want to mention is that you assume the purpose of debate is either to persuade or to be persuaded. Wrong. All right? Paradigm shift. The purpose of debate is not to persuade or be persuaded, which is just a polite way of saying win or lose. The purpose of debate is to learn. To learn something neither of you knew individually until you pooled what you did know and discovered something that was bigger and beyond the two of you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, it comes from Isaiah 43. God is speaking here and says, "Do not get stuck on the way things were or dwell on what was, for I am about to do something new." That's God saying, there's more to this than you know right now. Open your mind. Stick with me here and think about this, okay? We're being pulled into that. Now, those are all obstacles to listening. I don't know how many you checked off. I'm guilty of 6 out of 6, perfect record. These are all growing points for all of us. We talk about horizons, not goals. I mean, destinations. This is stuff we work on our entire lives. I want to just take a minute, though, and talk about the possibilities that exist between us when we actually do start listening to each other. All right? And I hope these are obvious by now, so I'm stating the obvious, but it needs to be said. One is, when we deeply listen to one another, we can have insights that we can never have on our own. We need each other. And those bizarre ideas and opinions, even if they aren't right, even if they aren't as good as ours, at least from our perspective, they spring from real places in the other person that needs to be valued and respected and understood and heard. And they can, even when they're not so great, they can stimulate thinking, they can stimulate ideas and questions and insights that you could never have had otherwise. Dialogue is a good thing. It's a good thing, especially if you're pretty sure you're right. Okay. Another possibility of listening is that you can be part of changes that are greater than yourself. Let's put it this way. If you could get everyone in the world to agree with you and your position on something, well, then you would have everyone agreeing with whatever you as an individual are capable of. If you want to get beyond just what you're able to do, then you're going to need to open it up to some other people. And probably, and especially people who see things differently, that bring bigger and wider experiences, that start weaving those other strands into the rope, is weaving those strands of others that are very other to you, and of God, whom I think we all have a tendency to boil God down to our best version of ourselves, rather than like God pulling us out to where God is being expressed in the lives of other people around us. We need to listen. We need to hear each other's stories. We need to build trust. We need to learn. I think these words say it well. This is a transcendent Jesus from the book of Revelation speaking, okay? It's a Jesus that is beyond just the person Jesus. It's the Jesus that has the heart of God. And he says, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me." Translation a little bit. If you want, Jesus is saying, I can come and sit and patiently listen to you and to your story so that I know you and you feel known by me. And then you'll have the chance to sit and to listen to me patiently and to know me and to know my story. See, God doesn't want to just tell us. God models it. Models taking this time to know and be known. And to do it with no agenda other than to know and be known, because that's how the doors open. Okay, so remembering back to that story that I shared with you way back in September and that I mentioned at the beginning of the message here, this story about Jesus feeding the 5,000, we talked about how it's more a story of the immensity of Jesus' compassion than the immensity of Jesus' power. And that's important. That's what the disciples weren't able to get. And remember those words. I have to run off stage and get a prop. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he broke it open. And he talked about how we must all be broken open. That's when the real stuff pours out of us. That's when God is really able to get into us and to use us. Telling your story is a way of breaking yourself open so that you can be used by God, so others will know what's inside, who you really are, so that you can be valued as a human, as the real person, the wonderful person that is under construction, imperfect and messy, and just so worthy of love. And when you listen to another person, you are giving them a chance to break themselves open and to be known by God, to discover who they are. And you can know them and affirm them for the person that is dealing with real stuff just like you are. And you can decide that, wow, I don't necessarily need to agree so much as I think I need to love. I think I need to learn to understand and to know. And Jesus says, do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? And they said to Jesus, 12. He says, yeah, that's more than we started with, wasn't it? And Jesus said to them, do you not understand? It's all in the being broken open. So we're going to do some of that breaking open. We're going to be going into a couple of groups to tell our stories, and then we're going to come back here, okay? And there are three groups. And the story, everyone who's telling a story today took this prompt. People think, dot, 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 but it's really like this, dot, dot, dot. Let me tell you a story. And they may not actually use those words, but that's kind of the prompt behind the story they're going to share. They aren't necessarily meant to be terribly profound. They're stories. They're real stories from their lives. And we're going to be listening to them. For those of you who are telling stories, I was a little impatient in walking around to all the different rooms to hear what was going on. And I just heard a lot of people being broken open. And I felt it respected and valued. And this is the practice when it's easy, so we have the skills we need when it's not. So may we continue to do that. There is a homework practice on your Sunday paper. It's probably up on the screen as well. And it just says this: tell a story from your life to someone this week. Have no agenda except to be better known. Invite someone to tell their story and have no agenda but to better know. I think that's God's stuff. That's what Jesus spent his life doing and where he is calling us to.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have, too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10.